Welcome to the inaugural program of Countermeasures with Nixon and Rath. I'm Nixon.
I'm Rath.
And we're happy to be here. We're in kind of the bunker here in Peoria, right?
Amen.
And we've been waiting quite a while to get this inaugural program off the road, and or on the road, rather, because technical issues, but, you know, we're glad to be here.
Amen. Love it.
All right. So we want to say hello to everybody here on Anchor FM. We're really very proud to be part of the Anchor FM family. Countermeasures is brought to you by Lifeboat Coffee and
OLT Fabrication. That's my dad's company.
Very blessed to have sponsors already out of the gate. What do you think about that?
Money's good. Money's good.
And they love us for it. Keep that mega discipline there. So we have this new, brand new program. It's called Countermeasures. And we want to introduce ourselves. So really, you know, I'm Bruce Nixon. He's Greg Rath. Why do we want to be on this little podcast? I mean, I'm supposing everybody would like to know a little bit about us.
So yes.
We'll do you first.
Well, my name's Greg Rath. I've been with the Phoenix Police Department for almost 28 years. I'm a lieutenant. Been a native of Arizona for 51 years, married, three children, 24, 21, and 16 years old, two daughters and a son. Mom and dad are pretty much natives here as well. Dad's a small business owner, OLT Fabrication, steel fabrication company. My mom was a teacher for 35 years, and kids are in college and high school. Wife's part of a small business. She's a business consultant, deals with independent restaurants all over the country. So I think I've got a kind of interesting background. Kind of
grassroots baseline knowledge of Arizona?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I've been here all my life.
Yeah, and it's important. And we'll get to some of the deeper reasons why we're here. I'm Bruce Nixon, a native of the city of San Francisco, but I was in the United States Coast Guard. I did lots of other things within the government later, part-time. Spent a lot of time doing what they call non-commercial radio, which is basically religious broadcasting, or NPR, and you can figure by our tenor and tone of this program, I wasn't part of NPR. My background, of course, in broadcasting and politics, I spent 13 years on Capitol Hill, based out of Nebraska, as a PAC chairman and paid lobbyist for Nebraska's largest family group, Nebraskans United for Life, and as such, I garnered a lot of different ways on how politics work, both in Washington, D.C. and locally within the state. I ran for Senate in Nebraska in 2010. I won the GOP primary, but I lost to a Democratic incumbent in that election. So, you know, we have together, I think collectively, a nice wide base of understanding of how things work. So it brings us to this next nugget of why we're kicking off with this premiere episode. Why are we here? I mean, now you know a little bit about who we are. And, you know, Greg, I can't underscore enough how important it is that we're here in Arizona, because Arizona is a really one of the last bastions of American freedom in many respects. But we're here hopefully to help change the culture within the state. I mean, would you agree with that?
Totally. I think you lead by example, lead from the front. Hopefully people follow. Hopefully people understand. And who knows what kind of change we may affect macroly, if you will.
Right. And, you know, the old expression that all politics is local is really important, because this program, we're not going to focus so much on national events, because there's a million, maybe 10 million people out there that want to pontificate about national events. We really want to focus on how do we affect change within the state of Arizona, and we want to impact the culture. We want to help reintroduce the idea of the Arizona Republic as it relates to the family, as to the culture, and really it impacts every facet of life. You've been in the public eye and as a public servant for nearly 30 years.
Correct.
And you've seen a lot of changes, I would guess.
Yeah, both positive and negative, but lots of changes.
Right. But I culturally, would you say we're leaning more negative than we are positive?
Well, yeah, we're leaning left. Simple as that.
Yeah, and let's define that. I mean, it's important what we mean when we say that, because people are like, well, left, right, you know, left wing, right wing, maybe it's the same bird. And maybe nationally that's true. But when we say left, do we mean godless, socialist, rat bastard, left wing agenda?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I think we need, we also want to have a little fun here. So, I mean, but I think that's what we mean. So if we say left or right, what we mean is on the right, we tend to be family oriented, constitutional, interpreted in the strictest sense, God fearing. Christians, you know, we're all sinners, right? Raise your hand if you're a sinner.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. It's radio. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I have to describe it.
Yeah. I'm raising my hand higher than yours. But my point is we lean into that because without that foundational set of Christian values, we really can't have a right-minded culture. Would you agree?
I agree. I think that's the foundation, and I think the foundation has crumbled, and you can throw money, you can throw policy, politics, you can throw whatever you want at the problems, but foundationally, that's the critical part.
Yeah, and we're not here to say anything about any one particular church or theology. What we mean is what people long to, the term Judeo-Christian values, right?
Right.
You know, give to God what is God's. Don't steal from your neighbor. Don't cover your neighbor's goods, his wife. You know, don't lie. Don't steal. You know, those baseline things, right? Would you agree?
Yep. I think that has to be fortified, if you will, and reiterated. And I think once those are set, everything else falls into place much more easy or much easier.
Yeah, I agree. And so what we're saying, when we want to affect change, influence change, you know, this radio program is just one facet of that. Would you agree that I think what we want to do, and I think what we'd love for the listening audience to do, is be a part of a small movement of like-minded people that can take steps in an action plan, not necessarily exclusively our own, but broadly speaking, take actions to help change the culture?
Well, and what I think is, and we had talked about this many times, we don't necessarily have all the answers, but there's a lot of people out there that are hopefully listening that have other answers that would like to join. Being out there on that island by yourself where you don't feel like you're around like-minded people can be scary and daunting and
intimidating.
Intimidating, but you feel like you're by yourself, so you feel like it's kind of a lost cause.
You hear that a lot, right?
Well, I hear that a lot doing what I do, but I also hear a lot of people that that support these types of thoughts. I think what happens is we get caught up in our lives, we get caught up in our families, doing the right thing, worrying about that foundation, but that takes a lot of time. And I think sometimes we kind of take for granted our lifestyle and what we have, and you know, as all of a sudden, as it chips away a little bit at a time, you know, you look back and you're like, holy cow, what changed? What's going on? And then, you know, sometimes it kind of, I think it causes a panic in me a little bit too, because I do think about my children. I think about the foundations that they're going to try to instill in their children. And I want them to be around these like-minded people and have that kind of that group mentality. That's the scary part about it, is I think we're one step forward, two steps back. And I think we need lots of people involved in this movement, supporting it. And you don't have to be a mental giant. You just have to have solid beliefs, I think. I think you have to understand what the country, what the republic truly stands for. The Constitution, in my opinion, isn't a living, breathing document. It's there as a roadmap. And it's, you know, they, what did it take, 15, 16 years to write that silly thing? And there's some smart, those are some smart people. And I agree with them. And I think we're getting away from that. And I think people that we're talking to, hopefully that we're talking to, long for that foundation, long for that family foundation, the right and wrong, understanding right and wrong, and not compromising. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think we can narrow that down if we bring it back to Arizona. We're going to present to you, we'll have it on our page as soon as we get into that program, but things like the Constitution of the Republic of Arizona. I mean, we want to have that as a baseline. We want to talk about things that we can all do, and I don't mean just politically, but I mean in the real world, how we treat people, how we interact with those around us. I think if you visited Lifeboat Coffee, and maybe some of you have, maybe you haven't, but over the nearly last 5 years, there's a community there that seems to, by and large, and you've interacted with them a great deal, have this sense. And I think we want that in different places and all over Arizona.
Well, and I tell you, that's actually a kind of an interesting segue in how you and I met.
Right.
I was eating a little lunch in the plaza, and I drove through towards the back of the plaza, and all of a sudden this wonderful smell of coffee, and I didn't know where the heck it was coming from. And I started sniffing around, and I saw Lifeboat Coffee, and I poked my head in. And when you talk about like-minded people, I look in, and holy cow, there's five retired cops that I've worked with. And I was like, okay, I'm drawn to this. And then I meet John, and I meet his family, and I meet all these customers that come in. And again, there's an eclectic group of customers that come in. I mean, but what it's proof of is, yeah, just because they're eclectic or they're maybe different, the foundation that we talk about, the family or hard work or doing what's right, good versus evil, I would bet they, from what I see, all believe the same thing. And there's people of all kinds of colors, creeds, religions. I've met them all over the last year and a half, 2 years that I've known you. And it's a safe place. That's the, I guess that's what people are longing for, that they don't want to be on that island. They want to be in that safe place, be around like-minded people, so they feel like, you know, their voice matters.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And that was the blessing of finding you and your coffee shop. And these discussions that we're having right now are discussions that we have every day. And
our belief is that great conversations make great radio. I mean, that's
absolutely
where we're coming from, right? And so, brought to you by Lipo Coffee, conveniently located at 7th Street in Dunlap. That's what we're talking about, but that's not really important. I just say that in case you're wondering about the context. But you're amplifying my point, our point. And the point is, when you build communities in small scales or larger scales and bring people together with a wide, diverse avenue of ideas, you can get to the bottom of things in a way that it's not possible otherwise, and we can do steps together.
And you know what's interesting? I think most people are pretty close to the same beliefs when it comes to family, raising their kids, putting them through school, or doing what's right. I think it's usually a one or two item thing that shoots people off to the right or shoots people off to the left. So if you cut the 10% off on the right and cut the 10% off on the left that are nuts, and then all of a sudden you got the other 80% that are in the middle, those people are all pretty much the same. Yeah, we're going to have, you know, you may believe in spending more money on education than I, or you may not believe in this or whatever, but I will tell you, everybody wants good things for their kids. Everybody wants good things for themselves. Everybody wants to be healthy, opportunity. And I think a good distrust of government in and of itself is shared as well.
Would you say it's fair to net it down to our belief for countermeasures with Nixon and Brath on Anchor FM is we believe that people are self-determined, like in the family, in a community, small business, people ought to, not that they do, but they ought to band together to create that community, work hard, share responsibilities for things among the community, and not, and underscore not, what happens to people's lives is not the responsibility of any government.
Well, and I think you hit that on the head because, you know, there's lifestyles that I don't believe in, but I also don't believe that I as a police officer or I as a representative of the government or the government in and of itself should come and tell you yay or nay, whether that's right or wrong. You know, the old adage is you can swing your fist all day long, but it all of a sudden becomes against the law when it stops at my face. And that's kind of what we're talking about, because you know what? I may not have the same beliefs as you from a church standpoint or from a social standpoint.
Right.
But set those aside, we still want to be safe in our households. We still want to have opportunity. We want to be the masters of our own destiny. And
well, we do.
We
but
do.
I think the culture here in Arizona and nationally is suffering from there's a word I'm struggling. It's a good word, but I'll get back to it. But a certain malaise, the word I'm thinking of, this common sickness where we want handouts from the federal government, or we want handouts from the state, or we want more unemployment, and
well,
we want this.
And that tails back to we get so busy that we kind of let go of that stuff, and we just kind of assume, okay, government's going to take care of the school, or government's going to take care of this, or government's going to take care of that. And it just kind of, it spreads like a cancer. And then all of a sudden, those lefties, super lefties, or the super righties even, latch onto that stuff, and then they perpetuate a very narrow perspective.
And I agree.
I really think that's the problem. I think the normal folks that don't live in gated communities, that have everyday problems, whether it be a burglary problem or whether it be a money problem or whether it be any problem for that matter, I think we all share that. And I think that's the root of what we want to get to.
I agree. Let's circle back for just a moment, do some housekeeping. You're listening to Countermeasures on Anchor FM. I'm Nixon. He's Rath. We want to say from the onset that one of the things for this premiere episode that's very important as a takeaway is we have a certain set of truths that we espouse, as well as opinions. And opinions are sort of ideas that you have about things that are not known. There are a lot of things that are already known that we're going to talk about. Opinions are things that are prudential judgments, like how much welfare should people get, or how much should unemployment be, or what's the immigration policy. That's an opinion, otherwise expressed as a prudential judgment. But it's important because my friend, Lieutenant Rath, does not here officially speak on behalf of Phoenix, the city, or the police department, and I want that to be on the record as an important part of the housekeeping, because I don't want anyone listening that's a friend or foe to misinterpret what we're trying to say as policy of Phoenix or Phoenix PD.
Absolutely not. That would be inappropriate of me. It just, I think it's smart that I tell you my background, my experiences, and my experience level, and I would be remiss in not giving
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It's a great context to have.
But, and again, to build on what you said, I completely 100% support my people that are in charge of me. I've worked for Jerry Williams, Mike Kurtenbach, John Collins, all these people for many, many years. Totally respect them. They have a job to do. I may not agree with them.
And
And there's things that I disagree with, sure. And I think that's life. But I'm not going to publicize that and downgrade the important job they do, because they have a wide range of responsibilities, some of which I may not be privy to.
Absolutely.
And so I don't want to I'm not undermining them. All I'm telling you is I have 28 years of experience working various precincts, various jobs.
Phoenix.
You know, some are mean, some are not. But I will tell you, I've worked in neighborhoods that you historically would call mean, but I can share with you all kinds of great experiences that I had with the public in there. You know, a perfect example is 43rd Avenue in Thomas. Can be a tough neighborhood. A lot of gang activity, can be violent. But I remember one night when we were driving around looking for people that were firing off weapons on a New Year's Eve. And I come around this corner and there's this huge party. It's about 12:45. And this gal comes up and says, "Hey, would you participate?" Or my mother would like you to participate in our prayer for the new year. All Hispanic. And I was kind of taken aback because, I was actually the minority there. Cop, Caucasian, but they reached out to me. And so I sat in there. I got some eyeballs. Sure, you know. I mean, we worked those neighborhoods. But I tell you what, when I was holding hands with that old lady and that old man and her, and saying our prayer, you know, it softened everybody up. And you know what? Those people are no different than I am. They put their they put their shoes on just like I do. They love their family like I do. They want to paint their house, buy a new car, just like I do. And sharing that from a position of power, giving that power up for 15, 20 minutes, kind of demonstrated that, you know, we're actually closer than what other people out there would portray us. And shame on them, because those people out there are no different than you and I. And there are many, many examples of that. You'll never hear about them.
Yeah.
We try to publicize them. But there are people out there that that have other agendas that will not publicize those. And they, I will tell you, for every one bad thing you hear on the news, there's 100,000 really cool things that happen out there.
Well, I think that's an important way to express why we're here, right? We want to share some of those anecdotes, which that was a beautiful story, by the way, and get to the root of what we need to cure and how do we get outside of, you know, feedback. How do we get people rolling and moving forward to help fix these problems? Because there's a lot of problems common to our state, our county, and our city that I think the good people listening can be a great part of. So, you know, again, today it's Nixon and Rath. We're having a foundational premier program just to give you kind of the tenor and the tone of what's going on, a little bit of our backgrounds and get into, you know, the reasons why we're here, what we're going to start doing. A week from tomorrow, we'll be back with a really impactful, not singularly subject, but focused program on, there's several topics that we're working on. We'll probably tease them on the page later, but it'll be different because we want to bring you facts and figures. For instance, Greg, you and I have been talking off mic about, you know, like, what is the budget of the state of Arizona?
Right.
Like, things like this. People need real, genuine information without bias. Like, I just want to say, this is the budget of Arizona. Health and Human Services spends, and I'm just going to guess, you know, close to $1 billion a year here in the state. When I left Nebraska in 2013, they were spending $770 million in Nebraska on health and human services, and that's a state of 1.8 million people.
Well, and that begs the question of, what are they really doing with all that money?
Right, and we can get into Title X and all these apportionments, Medicare, Medicaid, reimbursements to places like Planned Parenthood, your local insurance company, your family doctor. Everybody participates in that. And really what we want to get at is, institutionally, I think this is where we fundamentally need everyone to agree, our government in Arizona, the federal government at large, is like a seven-headed hydra. It's so far out of control. It's as if, we'll circle all the way back to the beginning of this 20 minutes ago, we don't have a say in things because the government is out of control.
It's too big.
Right? What are you going to do?
Well,
what are you going to do when they say, we're doing this, and we're doing that?
And they hold you hostage with money.
Right.
Well, you know, and we talked about this, and not to get federally, but you think about the how many trillions of dollars that are collected in tax dollars and how very few people truly control the purse strings.
And that's an important point, because federally...
You don't think that's not happening here in the state?
Well, I'm saying this is the ludicrous part about it, mm-hmm. Greg, that all the money that the federal government collects is from a state. There is no federal money. You hear people like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Mitch McConnell. It doesn't matter what the party. They all talk about all this federal money, which is... it's like almost the master gaslighting of the federal government to the American people, where they just say things over and over again and expect you to believe it's true when it's totally false.
Right.
There's not a penny of federal money, never has existed a penny of federal money. It comes from the states. For instance, you pay federal gas tax at the gas pump, ostensibly to pave highways. Well, why can't we keep that money in the states? Why can't we pave our own highways? Right? And I'll give you another fact and figure. And we'll pull up the paperwork to substantiate it. But this is a ballpark figure. For every dollar Arizona, and it, I can get the actual numbers, but I'm going to give you the ballpark. For every dollar we collect in fuel tax in the state that we send to the federal government, they return a nickel for us to use on our roads.
I wonder what they're using that for.
Well, it goes into this. This is my point. If we get into the heart of what's going on in Arizona within the county, we can talk about Phoenix and its budget and the really strange phenomenons where they talk about these numbers and taxes and who owns taxes. Well, people pay in the state of Arizona approximately 8.6% sales tax. If you own property, you're paying property tax. If you own a commercial business, you're paying tax on your commercial business and your property. These are the only ways that taxes come. Now, does the state collect some income tax? Yeah, but very little.
Minor.
Very little. You know why? Because everybody that's affluent knows how to hide their money, and everybody who's poor doesn't owe any tax. So there's very few people in the middle that actually ever pay any tax in any meaningful way because it's – anyway, that's what I mean. I mean, we want to help unpack that. And what are solutions to that? Where do people draw the line? Well, part of it is activism, right? We have to talk about it, see if we can gather people around and say
– That's why we're here.
Right, and that's why we're inviting you. You're listening to Nixon and Rath on Anchor FM, and this is Countermeasures. We want you to be a part of our family. We'll get you an email address here in a minute. You can email the program, and we'll answer emails in a timely fashion. And eventually, when we get rolling and we have a better show page, we might even have a chat box because it would be great to chat with you in real time on Anchor FM to see how people react to the program. But that's all. This is day one. So we have a lot of time to grow and get things going. But we just want to invite you to be a part of this countermeasures. And we call it countermeasures because there's got to be an ability to, and I hesitate to use the word combat, but deploy countermeasures to avoid disaster. Just like a fighter plane flying through the sky deploys a countermeasure so it doesn't get shot down by a missile.
Well, and on the flip side of that, I call it the countermeasures family.
Okay.
You know, people that believe the same way we do, or maybe not exactly, but believe that there's things that are out of control that need to be changed and become part of our family.
It's inviting people to the ballpark. We're in the ballpark. Everybody's in different seats. Some people are, you know, in box seats. Some people are in sky, nosebleed. You know, we have pitchers and catchers. I get it. It's a good analogy. I like it. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And it's a great way to describe it. I just don't want to sound flippant when we say it, and I know you mean it when you say it, that we want to create a countermeasures family, and that's an excellent point. We want you to be a part of this. Obviously, we're here because we don't really need to hear ourselves talk on the radio, so to speak, because we can talk every day, right? We want you to be a part of this movement that will grow organically, and we want to be out in the street, and we want to meet you. Greg, I hope that within, you know, a month or 2 months and people are enjoying this, that we might be able to set up, you know, a Meet Nixon and Rath Day where we can talk to people in the flesh.
How about come on over to Lifeboat Coffee?
Or do that or somewhere else and we can bring the Sony portable recorder and record some sound bites and play them back during a future broadcast. I mean, we can do all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Well, let's make it fun.
Yeah.
Let's make it feel like a family, but let's make it fun. Make it entertaining. And, you know, so we don't want it to seem like a chore.
No, not at all.
No, we want it to be entertaining. I mean, we're going to talk silliness from time to time because, frankly, we're silly. But I think everybody believes the way we do. I think, or at least 90% the way we do. I think people are scared of the future. And, you know, you sit back on your hands and you're like, you know, what do you do, what can I do? So we got some equipment, we got a computer, we got two big mouths.
Hey, let's go for it
and let's just talk.
Yeah. And our final point really tonight before this abbreviated episode ends is we want to be fun and entertaining, right? I mean, part of the whole idea to present ideas is not to be droll. This is certainly not intended to be any kind of lecture.
No,
you know, we really, obviously this is in a studio environment, but we want to be among the, as it says in scripture, the hoi polloi, right? The common people,
Well, and I tell you, I'm not an expert in history by any stretch of the imagination, but I have done some reading. And one of the things that I think back to our founding fathers, they reached out to people that had expertise in many different ways. And if the government had an issue with, let's say, I don't know, pirates, they bring in a shipping magnate. You know, if they got an issue with the budget, they bring somebody in that's an expert. And these people volunteered their time. They didn't make money off the backs of the taxpayer. And so I guess what I'm asking is those people that are experts out there that have something to say, that have insight, speak up. I'd love to talk to them.
Yeah,
I'd love to talk to them.
We need to seek you out, and we hope it's mutually or a reciprocal thing where we can be a part of bringing great ideas to the masses in one way or another. I really do, and I think that's a really important point. There's not one answer. There's a lot of answers, right? But we have a state that can be this can be restorative. It can be,
That's the goal. Restore. Right. You know, there's things that are great about this state. They're still great. You know, there's things that happened historically that and decisions historically. I mean, look at Miranda. Miranda's an Arizona decision.
You're right.
And those are good decisions that stand, that have stood the test of time. But there's also bastardization of some of these things that need to be reeled in. And I think that is where we are. And that's the change that we're trying to affect. We don't want I look at the public as the dog, and I look at the government as the tail. And right now, the tail's wagging the dog.
And it's been doing it for a while.
A long time.
So maybe if we pull back your alliteration to the founding fathers, really what they did in the beginning was they formed, because they didn't have radio, committees of correspondence.
Right.
Where they wrote to one another, they met in pubs. They met in,
bars. And why can't we be more efficient? I mean, my God, we've got all this communication. They were doing it on horseback, for God's sakes.
They were, yeah.
And look how efficient that we are and how we can communicate. But that's a double-edged sword. You know, garbage in, garbage out. So be careful what you read on the internet.
Well, that's a great way to express that, because on either side, you've already pointed out, there's a fringe. And these fringe elements, say things like, oh my God, the government's going to take away your guns. You and I sitting here now know the fact that the federal government is not going to send troops to your door to take your gun.
Nope.
It's never going
to happen. Still got to have a warrant.
But in mass, it's never going to happen.
No. No, it's not.
Right? I mean, there's a communist rat bastard, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, the congresswoman, the Muslim self-proclaimed socialist whose daughter is now on Twitter every day calling for an open communist revolution. I say when. I think we're ready for these guys to say, oh boy, we're going to come do some bad things. Because as Yamamoto once said, you don't want to wake the sleeping giant, because there's a gun behind every blade of grass in the United States. They don't want that trouble, is what I'm saying.
Right.
But this is what I'm saying on the other side of the fringe is what you get.
Right, right.
Oh my God, we're going to end the, blah, blah, blah. And we're not about that. What I'm saying is we want to have common sense conversations.
Right.
We want to have these new modern electronic committees of correspondence. Well, we want to hear from people.
My question to the Omar's daughter, where did that idea come from where we need communism? And I will tell you, and this is going to be stuff that we're going to talk about, but that comes from lack of opportunity, lack of good policy at the state level. Where are the jobs? That sort of thing. No wonder people start thinking that way, because if you don't have that opportunity because people stand in the way or policies stand in the way of that, no wonder people think that way.
No, and let's underscore that, because this is a great kind of little launching point to get people's appetites whetted for the future. It's a twofold argument. Is it the governor's responsibility to set the stage for jobs? Only partially, and I think you nailed it, policy-wise, right? Is it an open enough policy to have an open enough free market for, say, more big companies to say, we're going to hire more people at what is commonly referred to as living wages, so that people aren't saying, hey, look, I work 32 hours a week at Amazon, or I work 32 hours a week at Walmart, and I'm still in poverty. I still receive SNAP benefits,
right.
Food stamps, right?
Right.
This
right.
Is this a policy issue? I say on one hand, yes. On the other hand, it's a corporate thing. Like, corporations have become almost their own little governments with their own welfare system.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
when you got a guy like Warren Buffett that can ebb and flow the stock market based on his decisions and his phone calls and the amount of money, that's huge.
I agree.
That's huge. And I think that's what you're talking about when you've got I'm not disgruntled because the guy's got billions of dollars. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you are doing it to such an extent that people that don't have that means are able to defend themselves against that, there's got to be a happy medium there somewhere.
I agree. And what I'm saying is business owners, corporate boards have a responsibility.
You know, that
it's not the government's place to force it on them, but they nevertheless need to acknowledge it.
Well, you know, my dad told me one time, I asked him, because he's in the construction industry, and he has very little turnover. And I asked him about that one time, because running weld in 110-degree heat, that's a tough way to make a living. And I asked him, I go, you know, because we talk about unions, and he's anti-union and that sort of thing. I go, how did you keep the unions from coming out and taking over your company, and how do you keep your turnover down? How do you keep these guys? I mean, we got guys that have been standing out there running a well for 25 plus years. And he goes, you treat them right.
I mean, fundamentally, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Right. And you don't have organized labor.
But you don't have the government telling you how you're going to treat and make your own policy. So you've got to have...
We need to write this down. That is exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
Right. Where you... I have a small business. You work in the public sector. Your father has the larger business, and everyone along these lines has to take their own responsibility, or else, and this is the big or else, you lean into this last 100 years of leaning into socialism where the government has to tell you what to do because you're not smart enough to do it on your own. Now you've got big nanny government telling you what to do, and you resist. You say, I don't want the government telling me what to do. Well, why didn't you do what was right in the first place?
Right, right.
I don't have any problem with...
Right.
We'll get into, and maybe that's a program we'll pick up in a
absolutely.
Couple weeks. You know, we have a natural right given to us by God to collectively bargain. That doesn't mean unionization. Unionization is a, you know what the word for union in Russian is?
I don't.
Soviet. Yeah. So when people say, oh, it was the Soviet Union, I kind of chuckle.
It's a union?
Yeah.
Is that redundant?
But they had Soviets before the Bolshevik Revolution because out in the wilderness of Russia, it's so vast and large. It was like they built these co-ops and guilds, and they called them Soviets. And American unions came out of European unions. They came out of Russian unions after the Bolshevik Revolution on the idea that you will treat me fairly or else. And this is the nature of the strike. Every strike, whether it be wildcat or planned, is in its essence a baby Bolshevik Revolution. And I look, there's a lot to unpack there. But my point in all of this is, if you don't, dear business owners, myself included, big or small or corporate size, take responsibility to find the balance between ownership, management, and labor, the government will continue to step on freedoms and you will resist them until they break you, and then you'll be – and we'll get into economies here in a little bit, but – I mean, I think we're already there to a certain respect.
Sure,
when you
sure.
I mean, we're already there where the government is so big, it's pushing down on people, and they have this little coy fight back. Well, the government's doing all this to me. I couldn't possibly. You know, the revelations recently from Jeff Bezos that his employees at our Arizona warehouses had to pee in bottles because they weren't allowed bathroom breaks because he needed to make his deadlines is an example of an egregious attack on personal freedom in the broader environment of a workplace.
Yeah, don't you want to create a situation or an atmosphere that people don't want to leave, don't want to run for 50 cents?
Take a Costco.
Right.
Costco's a great example.
Absolutely.
Of an American company that is owned by its employees, and I'm not advocating for that model. I'm just saying you can look at it and say,
it
there
works.
Are people that have been in Costco from the beginning, have retired from Costco. Do you get a job at Costco? You work there. I think you have to pass an 18-month muster, and then you own part of the company.
Right.
And everybody, when you go to a Costco, I'm not saying it's my favorite store because it's a little crowded for me, but it's fairly well run. They make a lot of money. They pay their employees well. They have great benefits. I'm just saying, in the nugget of discussion, Costco stands to me as a model of what's done right.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I like talked about my dad's business, you know, and I know other people that have businesses where they treat their people correctly. They treat their people Christian-like and
decently.
Decently.
Yeah.
Selflessly, you
All
know.
Right. Well, let's do one more piece of housekeeping. You're tuned to Anchor FM. This is Countermeasures with Nixon and Rath. I want to give – we've talked a little bit in pieces about your family, your father's company, and I want you to just give them a nice, good plug, the name of the company, what they do, and how people can find them.
OLT Fabrication. I believe they got a website. Look them up on the internet. I don't have their phone number handy.
So it's OLT?
OLT Fabrication.
Oscar Lima Tango, or in police phonetics?
Ocean Lincoln Tom.
Okay.
If you will.
So
they're located 2301 West Broadway Road. They've been down there a long time. My family and my dad and my brother and my uncle and his father, they've been in business since the 50s.
Awesome. And so little fabrication to skyscrapers.
They've from handrail to America West Arena.
Right.
I mean, huge buildings.
So if you have steel needs, your father's company, your family company can handle it.
Absolutely.
OLT, steel?
Fabrication.
Fabrication. On the web, probably at OLTfabrication.com.
Correct.
Also brought to you by Lifeboat Coffee, our little family coffee roastery and cafe, conveniently located in the Tony's Plaza at 7th Street and Dunlap. We'd love to have you come over. We're there. I'm there every day, 6 days a week. My counterpart is there many days among his busy police schedule, but you know, you may see him there from time to time.
Yeah, please come in and say hello. And to all those guys that work for me and I work with out there on the street, please be safe. You're fighting a good fight against evil. And remember that 98% of the people out there that you deal with are quality individuals. And try not to dwell on policy and politics because it'll drive you mad. So do the job for why you do it. You don't like bullies. You stand between good and evil. That's why you do what you do.
Amen, brother. Well, I think we survived the inaugural premiere program.
I didn't stutter too badly, did I?
Not at all. I mean, still look bad, but
face for radio, right?
Yeah. I have the greatest face for radio ever, 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 ever. Okay, again, it's Nixon and Rath on Countermeasures. Next time, we expect to have, and we'll dial this in. I think we can tease it on the show page. It's on Anchor FM. Look up Countermeasures. We'll have our teaser up there within a few days. And what are your final thoughts? Did you enjoy today?
Yeah, first time. I've done a little radio before. What's exciting is, you know, I'm sunsetting in my career. And these things that we've talked about, I've dwelled on, I've talked about, and thought about for a long, long time. And I hope this turns into something that we can do weekly. You know, maybe who knows what it progresses into, but just being a part of a group of people that are like-minded is comforting. And that's where I'll leave it.
Yeah, and for now, we'll have a regular Countermeasures email up probably in Gmail, but for now, BNLC Radio. Bravo, November, Lima, Charlie, BNLCRadio@gmail.com. And we can answer any questions you might have. You just want to say hi to us. We'll use that for this week. By next week, we'll have a different show email running. But it's a great way to contact us temporarily. And had we not been both busy with family and business, I probably would have had that done. So it'll be done soon. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Absolutely.
I think
you know, the families come first. Business comes first.
Well, I mean, you know, this is like a lot of fun, but it can also be like, oh my gosh.
What did we get ourselves into?
Right. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed Nixon and Rath. Do you have a final goodbye you'd like to say to anybody?
Goodbye.
You want to say hi to anybody, like your big shout-out moment?
Big shout-out moment. To my family, to the folks that I work with on the PD, you know, you guys do a great job. Keep it up.
All right, and we hope to see everybody again Friday, a week from tomorrow, which I believe is May the 28th. And I would be remiss. This is the eve of my, would have been my father's 91st birthday. This will be his first, God willing, heavenly birthday. So miss you, Dad, and happy birthday in heaven tomorrow. And, well, good night and God bless.
Amen.
All right. Talk to you soon.